And you know, it's kind of fitting that we have this topic here at this time, because what is it, about another week or so? When is Good Friday? Is that 2 weeks from, is it a week from this Friday coming up? 2 weeks from this Friday? Or 1 week from this coming Friday? 1 week from, okay. So we got to get prepared for that. You guys need to let me know when, who's coming to that, which men are coming to that event. That's going to be, it's on a Friday, so it's going to be, we're going to be up there. Paul, do you remember what time that starts? Okay, I want you to do me a favor, if you would, and look into that for me. Let me know, because you're planning on taking it off, right? You'll be off. Okay, so Brother Paul and I for sure will be there, all right? We're going to for sure be there that day, and we're going to start early. We usually start early and try to meet as early as we can. If you guys can't meet that early, or you can't come, I know some of you have to work, and that's the way it goes. So, but you that can come, you let me know. We're going to get there. I want to record a lot of that, too, because we're going to use that. Also, but like we have in the past and those other things. But so Paul's going to find out for us what the times are and everything like that, so we can be ready for that. And we'll, him and I will start out early, and you know, whoever else is with me at the time and whoever else can come, and we'll get there. And if you can't, we understand, but we're going to go out there, we're going to preach, and we're going to hang our banners and do what we can. Lee, maybe you can come up a little bit later if you can't get there right away, or if you can get it off. Are you? I'd love for you to be there the whole day holding the banner, so that would be great. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. And we'll do our best to get there whenever, whatever time you can get there. But we're going to go in the morning. We usually try to get there, and we don't let those sinners out. We stick it out till the end. So it's a long day, just like this one, but it's worth it. And we are going to record from there, and we are going to stream from there. If you can get off, we're going to stream from there. I want people to see what these people believe. Christians, I want Christians to see this. That, and we reiterate, we are not a part of the pro-life movement. We are complete and total abolitionists. We believe in the total abolishing of human abortion. There is no compromise. Trump's going to bring a compromise. You're going to watch it. He's going to get it, too. He's going to get the compromise passed, and he's probably going to get into office because of the compromise. They're going to craft it in a way to do that. But just remember, I don't care what week it is, it's still murder. Don't ever forget that. I don't let some politician tell me what murder is. No, God's Word tells me what it is. It's murder. I don't care if it's week one, or if it's week five, or it's week 10, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Amen. So we need to remember those things. All right, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, you look at that, I think about that false witness that speaketh lie yesterday. They're just a bunch of liars. They're hypocritical liars. Is what they lie all the time. And their hypocrisy is nothing but lies. They do it all the time. They're not consistent with what they believe. People may not like what we believe, but we are consistent with what we believe. We hold a consistency in what we believe, and it's because we have a final authority. And I talked to a young lady yesterday, and I had a long conversation with her. It was a very good one. She was kind of snooty at first and everything, and she kind of calmed down a little bit after a while. But here's the thing about it. When we get all the way to the end, we just come down to this, and I'm trying more and more to bring them to this point. Okay, and I get them to admit it. So your authority is your heart, and mine is the Bible. And that's why we can't agree. We can't come to an agreement, right? Why? Because you don't agree with God. And they admit that their heart is their authority. She admitted that she invented a God in her own heart. She admitted it. See, that's where you want to leave people with. And I said, are you willing to wager your whole eternity on it? I said, I'm being serious. I'm not being... I'm not being condescending to you. I'm not being mean. I'm not being arrogant. I asked her 3 or 4 times, and that, right there I said, are you really willing to wager eternity on that? That you're right. It made her think. And that's what we're there for. Right? That's what we're there for. And she was thinking. You know, and then she had to admit herself that she believed that you guys don't hate people. She even admitted that. I don't think you hate people. She realized it. Why? Because the conversation we had. That's the day she realized we're not there because we hate people. If we hated people, we would shut our mouth and say nothing. That's hate. Love warns. Right? That's what love does. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, help us now as we look through this. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to another thing that God hates here, and that is the hands that shed innocent blood. And the Bible speaks 20 times directly on that phrase of innocent blood, that we may know exactly what that blood is, the blood that God has said that he will not forgive nations for shedding. And we'll look at that. There's a few different applications of that. It's not just babies even. But also people's hands that shed innocent blood. Incidentally, people can be forgiven of shedding innocent blood. But you know something? People, individual people are forgiven. Nations are not forgiven. You see the difference, right? God told Manasseh, God forgave Manasseh's sin, right? He forgave him. But he said, he wouldn't forgive the nation for what it had done because of the hands that shed innocent blood. He would not forget. He would not forgive. So the nation as a whole has no promise of perpetuity and forgiveness.
Right.
We're not Israel. We don't have any promises like that. Amen. Not the same thing. God's dealing with people now. That's why he'll forgive you. If you had an abortion, if you murdered somebody, if you did it, God is merciful to forgive people. Right? Because he died for sinners. He didn't die for nations. But he did die for the nation of Israel. Because he said it, didn't he? What did he say about the nation? That one, those priests said that one should die for, and not all the people, but that one should die for their sins, right? He's speaking of the nation of Israel. Now that's put away. I'm not saying that the nation of Israel is redeemed now. God said he's going to do that later.
Right.
And they're going to get saved by accepting their Messiah, each person. God's not going to save them and say, oh, well, you all have eternal life because you have Abraham's blood. No, Jesus preached against that. I'm not saying that. But the nation of Israel will continue on because he promised it would. That's why it continues on, because of God's promise. It was not dependent upon Israel's obedience. It's promised. God said, because I could swear by no other, he sweared by himself to Abraham. He promised Abraham. So I'm not talking about biblical regeneration. I'm talking about the nation itself. God promised it perpetuity. Amen. That's what he promised it. So that may be a little confusing, but it shouldn't be. It should be easy to understand from the sense of it's not eternal life. He's not talking about that. The only nations that you see in the end, you see the other nations fall in the end times, and you see God purge Israel in the end. Why? Because he promised it. It's because Christ died, right? It was his promise that he had made. But each person, each Jew, each Gentile, each barbarian, each heathen has to be born again by the Spirit of God. So it's not talking about eternal life in that sense. It's talking about the perpetuity of a nation. Right? So, and it will be here. But it will be redeemed in the end. And then it will be grafted in. And so all Israel shall be saved. How is that going to work? I have no idea. Amen. I just believe what God said. Well, how do you explain that? I don't really try that much. I'm not commanded to. God just told me to believe it. He said, so all Israel shall be saved. I don't know. The same reason how he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and sent him over, and he was a sojourner and he traveled around everywhere and he did all those things. And Abraham wasn't a perfect man, but he was called the father of faith. And Jacob wasn't a perfect man, but he was still blessed of God and called Israel, right? It's God, not us. We don't get to choose what God does. We don't tell God what he does. Amen? God does what he does. And he tells us to listen to him and obey him, right? So We make sure we're clear about that. There's a difference in nations and people.
That's right.
When it comes to that. Okay, number one, what is innocent blood according to the scriptures? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 4. And then we'll talk about what attribute shedding innocent blood violates of God, the attribute of God that it violates, that causes the reason why God hates it. Because there's a reason why God hates it. And it always violates who He is. That's why God only hates the things that violates who He is. Right? God is holy. So everything stems from God's holiness. And when anything that violates God's holiness, God hates. Amen. That's why He hates sin, because He's holy. That's why when you get saved, you'll start hating sin, because God makes you holy. Amen. You won't hate it like He hates it. You will one day, though, when you're perfect. Amen.
Amen.
But not now. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 4. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in times past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer, while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. So God is saying that man, you should, that they weren't allowed to kill that man. This is Israel. He's writing this to Israel. Okay, they weren't allowed to kill this man because he didn't do it on purpose. So you weren't allowed just to murder this man and kill him because you're getting revenge against him because he accidentally killed your uncle when the axe head flew off or whatever. You weren't allowed to kill him. It was innocent blood, he said. You can't shed that. God hates that. God is angry with that. Verse number 10 of the same chapter says, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. You know, the problem with innocent blood is it's shed upon a nation. All nations. God saw the iniquity of the Amorites, right? Because they shed innocent blood. And when Israel started acting like them, He said, your sin and iniquity is greater than that of the Amorites. It is, why? Because you shed innocent blood in the land. And we'll get to specifically the issue of abortion in a few minutes here. Verse number 11, but if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of that city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. So God told them, if they shed innocent blood, then they were to be dealt with. Because God said He didn't want the guilt of innocent blood to be upon the nation. You know, America has shed a lot of innocent blood.
Yeah, right.
Not only here, but all over the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Lots of it. Lots of it. It's a scary thing. It ought to scare us. It ought to bother us, right? But God does see that. Even though God deals individually right now with you as a believer, God still pays attention to what nations do.
Yes, He does.
He's still watching.
Right.
He's still watching. He's watching those nations that are going to be confederate with the whore. Babylon, He's watching them. By the way, who are they? Right now, all of them.
Yeah, right.
All the main power ones are confederate with Babylon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 8. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge. And the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. What does that innocent blood mean? Well, the definition of innocent is free from guilt, not having done wrong or violated any law, not tainted with sin, pure or upright. In this general sense, no human being that is a moral agent can be entirely innocent. But He's talking about according to the law, okay, according to not being guilty of sin. So a baby is not guilty of its own sin in that sense. Yes, they are shapen in iniquity, right? We understand that. But God doesn't hold it to their charge. Why? Because He said in his word that they don't know between right and wrong. Right? They don't know it. So no one is No one is allowed to shed the innocent blood because it goes against God's word. What does it go against? Well, look at the first, and we'll get into that specifically in a second, but in a few minutes, I should say. Chapter 20, verse 8, the first thing that they said, be merciful. The shedding of innocent blood is against God's mercy. It's not merciful. You and I are to be merciful. We are to live our lives in mercy. We are not to live our lives in vengeance. We are not to. We're not to live our lives in seeking the vengeance against others. That's not the Christian life. When men do us wrong, it says God says, love your enemies. Right? You learn to practice that. If you serve the Lord long enough, you learn to love your enemies. And just let it go. Give it over to God. Vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Amen. That's where you leave it, right? 1 Samuel 19:5. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? So Saul was going to slay David, and David was not guilty of betraying God or the kingdom. But Saul was... So in other words, it's basically what innocent blood is, or shedding of innocent blood, is they're not guilty of any crime in that sense, and you're putting them to death. You're killing them. So if you and I falsely accuse somebody that has not done anything to us, we're, in essence, in our hearts, we're guilty of the same thing, of shedding innocent blood, aren't we? Because we're blaming them. We're slandering their name, and they didn't do anything to us, or we're lying about them. Right? So we could be guilty of the same thing, right? That's why we have to be careful. We have to be careful. If we don't know, we shouldn't say it. Right? Because we could be guilty in heart. Remember, the Bible is... God's Word is a heart issue. It's always a heart issue. So yeah, outwardly, but if you hate your brother in your heart, you're guilty of what? Murder already. Why is that? Because hate is the opposite of love in that sense. We're to love, right, not to hate. Amen. Right? So there's a difference there. People, these sinners, when we go out and we preach against them shedding innocent blood, they call that hate. God calls it love.
That's right.
That's we define love by the Bible, and that's what I told that young lady last night. Love is not defined by your feelings. Love is defined by the Scriptures.
Right.
And I looked at her when she said, well, you know, you're just hating them for loving somebody. I said, they're not loving them. That's not love. That isn't love. God defines what love is. Well, how do you explain, preacher? How can you go out and take that from those people? How do we as men go out there and take all of those things when they say we're all full of hate and everything else? How do we take it? We have a right understanding of what God's love is. Like we don't give up and quit. Why don't we quit? I don't quit because I understand what God's love is.
Right.
You're telling me what love is, but my love comes from the Scriptures.
Right.
It's how God defines love. And God says to warn you is to love you. To keep my mouth shut and watch you go into sin, ruin your life. Like Spurgeon said, if they're going to go to hell, let them step over our dead bodies first. Right? We don't let them go to hell without a warning. Why? Because that's merciful. That's the mercy of God. Amen. So, man, harsh speeches, yeah, they're harsh sinners.
Yep.
They're harsh sinners. It's like I told one preacher to try to tell me that, oh, you need to just give them the love of God while they're railing on God and hate Him. No, they're being proud. The Bible says the law goes to the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If a man comes to you humbly and says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But when a man comes to you and tells you of all his righteousness, what do you tell him? Well, go try to meet God's standard of the law, like Jesus told him. Go try to meet the standard of the law. Well, that'll crush anybody. You can't tell him that. Of course it'll crush anybody, and I'm supposed to tell him that. That they'll never live up to God's standard. What will that make them do? It's a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. To show them, you can't do it. You are utterly hopeless to do it, but Jesus Christ did it. Amen. Come on. That's where it's at right there. a simple law gospel. It's a simple message that we're to give to people. Very simple. We don't confuse them. We give it clear. Great plainness of speech, right? They don't have a problem not understanding what we're saying. They understand it very well. They have a problem obeying it. So the first reference in not putting a man to death for a crime that he did not commit, that he was not guilty of, the first time it's mentioned in the Old Testament, is guilty of his blood. Because he was innocent. And the Bible speaks of the fatherless and the widow. Those Americans oppress their own people. They go into neighborhoods and they oppress. You want to talk to me about Black Lives Matter? You're a bunch of liars. If Black Lives mattered to that group that's making, the Marxist group that's making millions of dollars, living, owning like four or five houses and making millions of dollars, you know where they'd be? Parked out with me, right next to me at Planned Parenthood, that's in every black community, in every ghetto community, every poor community across the country, because they were put there on purpose to genocide and to kill those people. Amen. They'd be there. They don't believe babies' Black Lives Matter. Why? Because their men want to run around like a bunch of dogs in heat, and they don't want to take care of their children. Amen. It's not just them either. I'm just using that as an example because they talk about that. They want to run around like a bunch of animals, a bunch of dogs in heat, have children or abort the children and kill them and murder them, and then go off and do it again and say that's love. That's like these two gangster-looking black guys pulled up last night. Y'all better blankety-blank, get out of here. You let them do what they want to do. Why? Because you want to be a little womanizer, and you want to sleep with a bunch of women, get them pregnant, and drive them to the abortion clinic. You want to act like a bunch of ghetto trash. That's what you want to do. Amen. Now you need some godly black men to stand up and say the same thing to them. Go into their neighborhoods and preach outside of them and tell them straight up, this is why. You want to know why your culture is ruined? Because they put you on the plantation. That's why. They kept you on it. They kept you on the government dole, and they stuck you in there, and they stuck liquor stores, and they stuck abortion clinics, and they stuck them right by you to destroy you. And then the CIA got together with the entertainment industry and started the rap industry and got all these rappers and these black men and filled their minds and hearts with it, with propaganda. Why? To keep them on the plantation.
Yeah.
That's right. So all they do is just run around and fornicate and not take care of their children. That's what it is. And people don't say that stuff. Why? Well, because they're afraid to say it. That's racist. That ain't racist. It's Bible. I'll tell a white man, a blue man, if you look like a Smurf, I'll tell you the same thing. If you're the same color as Andrew's shirt right there, I'll tell you the same thing. I don't care what color you are. You need to be a man and take care of your family. That's the way it goes. I don't care what color you are. It doesn't matter. That's irregardless. God doesn't care either. He'll throw you into hell if you're blue or red or purple or white. He don't care. You don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to go to hell. Amen. That's what needs to be said. But you know what? Some godly black men need to stand up in those neighborhoods and stand outside those liquor stores and preach to those men. Right. Instead of selling them out and working for, like one guy called Jesse Jackass Jackson.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Right? And Al Sharpton, who got millions of dollars, making millions of dollars off those people, taking advantage of them. Selling them down the river, taking advantage of them. Preach against abortion. Stand outside those liquor stores. Tell those girls to put some clothes on. Amen. It'll work, won't it? God's way. God, like I told that girl, God, why are you doing this? Because God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why, you really think this is going to work? Yeah. Yeah, I do. You really think this is God's way? Yeah. God said he uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yeah, I do. If everything in this world told me completely opposite and showed me every other way to do this, I would keep doing what I'm doing right now. Because they try to do it every day. And we resist them every day. I don't have time for your little soft, squishy stuff. I don't have time for that. Nor do I have a desire for it either. It repulses me. When I see them limp their wrists and I see them act like that, it's repulsive. When these preachers don't stand up and preach the Bible, it's repulsive. It makes me want to vomit. It's disgusting. It's most unmanly and most cowardly and most unbiblical. It's treason. It's treason to Christ. Trying to make Christ look like Caesar Borgia, some Fruit Loop. Son of the Pope. Ridiculous. Garbage. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse number 17. Uh-oh, it's going to be a late one. That's right, it's the only one you're getting today because we're going to have a song service here in the afternoon. We're going to have the children's class, and then we'll be done for today. That's what we'll do today because we were out really long. And that gives the people a chance to have a little bit of time there before they got to go back to work tomorrow, amen? But we'll rejoice in the time that we do have, amen? 1 Samuel, let's see, we did read that. Jeremiah 22:17. But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness and for to shed innocent blood and for oppression and for violence to do it. Sound familiar? Yeah. Violence. Oppression. To shed innocent blood. 2 Kings 21:6. There is no more oppression than to go to the poorest of neighborhoods, set up an abortion clinic there, set up a Planned Parenthood there, set it up there on purpose, and the most merciful thing that a large black family can do is to put to death their unborn child. End quote. Wait, you mean some little white woman, right? Marxist, evolutionist, eugenicist. You let that thing, that wicked Jezebel, come into your neighborhood and tell you to put to death your babies, and you didn't pick her up and run her out on the first train you could. And tell her if you ever come back here again, you won't like it. Stay gone. Amen. I know that sounds harsh. I don't mean killing her or anything like that. I just mean every time she came there, you preached her down till she left. I do that to JWs all the time. I wouldn't harm a hair on their head, but I sure will. I sure will preach to them till they leave. Every time. Like, I don't even mind, like, taking their street corner. Like, if Blessed Hope or one of those churches up there preaching on the street corner, we go to somewhere else. Because they're preaching the gospel, and fine. We'll go somewhere else. But if some apostate's on the corner, man, I will stand right in front of them, crank that app up, and blast it if the Lord leads me to. I wasn't led to the other day, so I didn't do it. But if I was, I'd have blasted it right there and took that street corner. Why? They're a bunch of devils. I don't have any common courtesy for devils, do you? It's like one of them old-time preachers. It was recorded in history. They asked one of Polycarp's disciples or something like that, do you know who I am? And he goes, yeah, I know who you are, you son of the devil. Polycarp's disciples said to the heretic that was preaching a false gospel to everybody, he goes, I know who you are. You're the son of the devil. That's who you are. Amen. See, they're full of violence. They would kill. They want to kill. The very people that tell you they love people, they don't love anybody. They hate them. That's why they put to death the most innocent of life. You realize you can't get any more like wicked than that, than to take the most innocent of life and destroy it. That's right. Which is worse. Right, and I was standing right next to the one when they said, well, the Bible says, and I just let it go, man. I heard him talking to some guy. And this guy was talking to some guy, and I just let it go. I started preaching loud right there. I said, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what the Bible says. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what the Bible says. It says Jesus is God.
Amen.
I'm sure they understood that. Sometimes you got to preach to the JWs. You know, they got to have the truth, right?
That's right.
Look, you need to start showing people more mercy and being a little more gentle. That is mercy. 2 Kings 21, verse 6. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, what did he do? Well, 2 Kings 21, verse 6 tells you what he did in the same chapter. He made his son pass through the fire. Observed times, used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So this shedding of innocent blood to throw your babies in the fire, see, they were throwing their sons and daughters in the fire. They said, well, that's not what America's doing. Really? Don't they burn them up in incinerators after they kill them?
They do.
Yeah. Right? That they are throwing them, their sons and daughters, in the fire. Yeah. Yeah, you and Paul were there, yeah. Yep. They do. Yeah.
They brag about not selling the body parts and then they throw them in the incinerator.
Yeah. By the way, that's why no amount of money could get me to cremate or have my family cremated.
Right.
I don't care how much money. Oh, it's cheaper. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. I'm not a heathen. You ain't burning my body. If I get burned at the stake, that's a different story. Amen? But that's because the heathens did what heathens do. I know heathen. I ain't following them. Amen? We're not going to follow heathens. We don't learn the way of the heathen. Right? You care about the almighty dollar more than you do that? Being a Christian example to the world? Amen? Come on, even in death it matters. Right? Precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. I sure ain't going to make a mockery of it. The heathen burned the Christians at the stake to make a mockery of them. Right, they dug up their bones and burned them, right. That's what the heathens do. That's a lot of hate, man. One guy walked past me with his son. He's like a 6 year. You see these guys? They're all haters. They're all haters. And I challenged him. I said, well, how? You know, how are we haters? Because they saw the homosexual sin banner and they got angry at that. It's like, you shouldn't use that. Why? Why not? Why? What biblical reason do you have not to? They're teaching every single one of these children in their public education that this is normal. This is normal. This is the way you're supposed to live. And by the way, my scriptures tell me that Moses gathered the entire nation of Israel together, sat them down, and gave those children the entire law of God and explained it to them. Look at it. He taught them against bestiality. He taught them against homosexuality. He taught them against men with men, women with women. No, he didn't get into graphic specifics, and neither do we. But he taught them all of it. Right? There you go. Okay. That's right. There it was, right? By the way, other people think, that's why you have all these churches that are segregated. Their children aren't in the same service that they are. Well, because they can't handle the preaching. I think they're handling just fine.
Amen.
I think they're handling just fine. Age appropriate, right? God does that. The Holy Ghost does that. He brings that truth down to them to where they are. I just believe God's word, that's all. It's a simple church model, right? Simple. It works. Children are still getting saved. Lives are being changed. Amen. Amen. So, see, this is how innocent blood was shed. They threw their sons and their daughters in the fire and burned them up to false gods. The same thing we see in the modern day abortion clinics, the shedding of innocent blood, which thing God hates.
Amen.
He hates abortion. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. The very hands that commit it. The mother that hands her child, the mother that goes into the doctor that allows it to happen. The father that drives them. All those hands that are involved. The receptionist that works at the front desk. Following it?
The voter
who votes for it? The voter, yeah, the voter that pushes the button to vote for it, right? The Luther, yeah, exactly. Nasty grannies. Right? You could have an interesting biography to write about me someday, bro. You're like, there's going to be a chapter in it, Nasty Grannies? What in the world? It'll be free. Nobody will want it. Don't worry, it'll be free. See? He doesn't want it. He's already crying. Think of the hands of the abortion doctor that put the baby to death and the hands of the mother and the father that drive the car to the Moloch to burn the baby in the fire. The baby ends up in an incinerator, right? Burned up. Sacrificed. What are they sacrificed? At the hands of what? Comfortability, my career. What's that?
Convenience,
yeah. Covetousness. Say, well, we don't do that in America. We're not heathens like that. Are you kidding me? We do it more than they did. Millions. Millions. Why? Well, my life would be, I'm not ready for a child yet. Well, then you shouldn't be sleeping around. And you shouldn't have got married. If you're married, you shouldn't have got married then. Right? Guess what? God makes you ready for a child. How does He do that? When you come together in holy matrimony, guess what? You're ready for a child. That's not hard to understand. That's really simple. Because you understand how it happens. Right? Very simply. Simple. It's not confusing. It's very, very easy. Jeremiah 7:32. Therefore, behold, the days come. Oh, don't miss these verses here. I'll give you some time to get there. Jeremiah 7:32, because then we're going to go to Jeremiah 19, 4 through 6. But Jeremiah 7:32. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. Why? Well, Jeremiah 19:4 is going to tell you why. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire, for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. 2 Kings 24, verse number 3. Talks about Manasseh again. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Filled the land with innocent blood. Isn't that where we're at now? Are we not filling the land with innocent blood? We live in a state right now that became an abortion sanctuary state. What does that mean? That means that states that have outlawed it, those people come for sanctuary to murder their babies. You gotta really, really want to kill your child bad to drive across state lines, to go as far as you can to get that accomplished. Right? It's the fallen mind. It's the fallen nature. Psalm 106, verse 32 through 37. It says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Now, we know in our day and age, God has not told us to destroy the heathen, right? Because we're not Israel. But we're not to learn their works. So, picture it in the church itself, right? Not the nation. Picture some of the spiritual lessons that are there for the church. What is the church not to have? The church is not to have a bunch of heathens in it. What are our churches? What are the churches in America filled with today? A bunch of heathens. There's a bunch of heathens running it. LGBTQ churches, right? Compromising churches, bunch of heathens. Fill it. So what do they have to do? They got to make the clowns happy, right? Yeah, they got to make the, they got to entertain the goats. They got to dance for them, right? They're full of heathens. So when they hear this, when they hear this type of message, when they hear these type of things, it angers them. Why? Well, they're a bunch of goats. They're not sheep. They're not saved. They don't love God's word. Right? Look, the closer you walk with God, the more you will hate sin. Your own first, and then that of others. You will lament your own sin, but you will lament the sin of the nation and the sin of others. And by the way, when you've sinned against God, especially before you were saved, you lived a horrible life, right? You have a revenge against that sin, don't you? So it's not the same anymore. If you murdered somebody or killed somebody or had an abortion, you have a vengeance against it. That's what the Bible says. You have a revenge against sin. So you not only don't participate in that sin, you have a revenge against it. You not only have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You go a step further. And that's what happens. That's why we have a zeal for it. That's why we have an anger against sin, and those, because we've been saved from it. And we hate it. We know what it does. We know how it will destroy people. Amen. And how it's destroying our nation right before us. We're seeing it. We're watching it. People are being destroyed. I'm not talking about the borders of America. I'm talking about the people, tongues, and nations, right? The people are being destroyed because of sin. You're watching it. They're being consumed. They're being given over to their own foolishness. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Isn't that what they've done for the American dream? Sacrifice their sons and daughters unto devils. Yep. I know. I'll tell you what. Some of you have a hard time when you hear sharp preaching and you hear pointed statements and you hear blunt things and you don't have that. You may not have that same fire and zeal for that or to do that. And I get that, but don't try to tamper mine out. Oh, man, you'll get burned up if you try that. I'm telling you, you won't cool this flame. God's the one that lit it. It won't get cooled. God lit it. God lights the candle. Psalm 18. God lights it. And you may look and say, well, you know, I don't agree with some things you do sometimes. I don't agree with some things I do sometimes either. All I know is this. I try to obey the Lord and I try to follow Him in all things and walk in His way. And I'm not a perfect man, but I'll tell you what. Don't get in my way when I'm trying to preach the Word of God and warn sinners. Because we are not going to stop, like I told that guy on that street last night when he looked up at us and he's like, you get the blankety blank out of here and get that, and I'm going to do this. I'm like, you ain't going to do nothing, and I ain't going nowhere. I'm not moving.
Amen.
They need to hear that. Why? Because they're used to everybody, oh, okay, I'm going to run away. Limp my wrist and run away. I ain't running. No, I ain't going nowhere. Why would I be afraid of you? And I'm not going to fight you either. But I'm not afraid of you either. Right? Remember in Ephesians chapter 3, like we talked about on Wednesday night, what are we supposed to be? Turn there. Ephesians chapter 3. This is why these go an hour and a half. All right. Moving. But I'm getting paid overtime today, so I'm keep going. Amen. Overtime blessings right here, man. Right? Hope your roast don't burn, but if it does, this is worth it.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Better that roast than your roast, right? Yeah. That's right. Amen. Look what he says here in verse number 10. What did we do? This verse is what we did. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What did we do? We preached against the principalities and powers out there. We stood up and like Jesus did, defied them openly. So you ain't going to push us off the corner and make us afraid of you. Why? We stand our ground until God tells us to move. If he tells us to go around the mulberry bushes, we'll go around the mulberry bushes. Hey, there's been times we left that pride parade that time, and they all thought they were winning. After that guy rolled over and tackled Paul and was like playing football with Paul. We saw him last night. He came up and hit somebody's sign. Yeah, he's always around. But you know what? What did we do? We went and preached to 70,000 fans at a Taylor Swift concert. They thought they were winning. They were walking away. Ha, 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 ha. They're all laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing about? I'm going, what's that? She's coming back, Taylor. Oh, man. I'm not a Swiftie, so I'm going to be there outside there. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a Trumpie. I'm not... I told that lady last night, look, I'm equal opportunity. I don't like any of them. We think they're all wicked. Who are you voting for? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because I think they're all the same. You asked, I told you. She says, why don't you preach against those corrupt CEOs? I go, oh, I do. I don't like them either. Right. That's right. Amen. They shed their innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, in so much that he abhorred his own inheritance. You know who's got to be a really sick individual? The one that decided they would craft better ways to murder babies. Like, you've got to be a really sick person to be like, you know, to figure out, I've got a better way to do this. What is that? Evil inventions. Right? Or let's create some bomb that'll really blow up everybody, right? That's great. That's wonderful. We want to bomb everybody. We want to just kill everybody. It's good science right there. Right? Survival of the fittest, right? But think about it for a second, though. You're crafting something to figure out a better way to murder babies. Right. Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, in COVID labs that we invented and, you know, paid for the Chinese to do it for us. So, no, it's illegal for us to do it, so we'll pay the Chinese to do it. It's like what the Roman Catholics and the Puritans did. Oh, we won't kill them. We'll just turn them over to them. Mostly the Roman Catholics did that, but we'll just turn them over to the state. That's what they did, right? So England, the Church of England did that in England. Right? They turned the Baptists and the Anabaptists. Well, we're not going to kill them. We're just going to let the king kill them. Yep. Oh, that makes it better. So you don't have hands that shed innocent blood because you delivered them to the king to kill?
Like the Jews that crucified.
Right. Exactly. Right. His blood be upon us and our children forever. Right? That's Bible. So I always ask people, say, who's guilty? All of them. All of us. Jew and Gentile. Remember, God said, well, I made them all alike. They're all sinners. I mean, I didn't make them sinners. They became sinners, right, because of Adam's fall. But I put them into an equal group and said, Jew and Gentile both, all lost and under sin, all need to be saved. That was the mercy of God, right? I can't fit that much theology. I got to keep moving here. Psalm 94:21. They gather themselves. I put a lot of scripture in this, but that's good. Amen. Oh, by the way, Jeremiah 7:6. If ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Psalm 94:21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. What is that? That's martyring. When the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of England, and these other Protestants came together and murdered and shed the innocent blood. They delivered them and shed their blood. But David said, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. The soul of the righteous, that's another application of innocent blood being shed. The soul of the martyrs, they were innocent. And they killed them. They delivered them. Rome, the mother of harlots, Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Right? She is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. But God's going to give her blood to drink. Right? He's going to give them blood to drink. Revelation 16:4 and 5. God is love. He sure is. He also hates. I can't imagine a God that doesn't love everybody that hates. I said, you hate? She goes, no, I don't. I go, yes, you do. You hate. She goes, oh yeah, I hate that sign. Okay. Then I also ask them if they... Never mind, I won't do that. I do ask them if they went to public education because it seems like they have a great disconnect in discussion. Yeah, there's... I ask them that. I mean, it's like, are you sure? I mean, are you sure about that? Especially if they don't have Christ. If you have Christ, God shows you out. It doesn't matter where you went, but God will show you. Amen. Revelation 16:4-5, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters. That's interesting, isn't it? The angel of the waters. The angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord. I wonder if these mamby-pamby, wimpy preachers would say, thou art righteous, Lord. Thou art righteous. I don't think so. My God wouldn't do that. I know, your God's the devil. Of course he wouldn't. He murders the innocent.
Yes, he does.
And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. That's the future, friend.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't love that God right now, you're lost and on your way to hell.
Amen.
That's just the truth. If you don't love the God of justice and you're looking for a God that's squishy and soft and that's okay with everything and that's not angry with the wicked every day, then you don't love the God of the Bible. If your God is this big old fat gummy bear up in heaven throwing Care Bears at everybody and gummy bears at everybody and some big old fat Santa Claus up there giving you everything and loving you no matter what you do and all that kind of stuff, right? That's not the God of the Bible. That's Santa Claus. That's not the God of the Bible. You better love God for who He is. Amen. And if you have the Holy Ghost, then you do love God. Because when you open up the Bible and you read the scripture, you say with the angel the same thing. Amen, Lord, thou art righteous. I tell people that. I've preached that for years about Noah's flood and the whole God is love thing. There's a 4-minute clip on there about the great deluge that I think did Aaron put that together? I don't remember. One of you guys did. But on the deluge, and I talk about that. They say God is love and the rain is slowing down. I said, I'm not going to apologize for this God that flooded the whole world. I'm not going to apologize for that God. He is just and holy and righteous. And I'm not going to apologize for him. And he's right. I look straight. He's righteous to throw you into hell. He is holy and righteous, and he is right. You better have that same agreement with God, or something's wrong. Amen. I'll tell you why in a second here. It'll take another hour, so I got to hurry. Jeremiah 26:15. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon the city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Boy, isn't that something? Now, let's read that verse one more time for clarity. All right? But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon the city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. How fitting is that? Then Jesus warned them in Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. What is righteous Abel? That's innocent blood. It's the same thing. Not guilty of any crime. Innocent blood of what they accused him of. Righteous Abel, right? Unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechias, who ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. That's a principle there, isn't it? We know who he's talking to. We understand that. I'm not confused about who Israel is. I'm not confused about Jesus coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I understand that very well. Amen? But I also understand there's a principle there that God is showing us. That they will, they hate God. Yes. Like I said to Paul, that's how he preached like Jesus. Okay, that was Jesus. That's what he looked at him and said.
Right.
Nope. You don't want me to preach like Jesus. I don't think you do. Right? They say that, but they don't mean it, do they?
Right.
Amen. By the way, did you know innocent blood is mentioned 19 times in the Old Testament, but only once in the New? You know why? That's right. Jesus.
Amen.
Matthew 27:4-5. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us?
Yep.
See thou to that.
Yep.
And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He was guilty of the innocent blood, and what did he do? Hung himself. By the way, I want to show you another principle here. So here's Judas. He's wrong. He's got the devil in him, right? We know that because it says Satan entered into him. Whew. Wow. Powerful, isn't it? We won't go into the implications of that today. We don't have time. But anyway, but what we find out about him is, what does he go to? Well, he goes to the leaders, the religious leaders of the land. He goes to the priests, like that young man told me. Well, my it's not, homosexuality is not wrong. My pastor would tell me if it was wrong. Right, Paul? Paul stood right next to you when the guy was in his fake army fatigues. Stolen valor! Oh, he was standing, you were there with us, weren't you? He was standing right there in his fake army fatigues. He was in like a costume, must be, I don't know, LGBTQ thing or something. But he was, what's that? Yeah, he was. No, this was the other. This was up at Anoka, yeah, at the outside of that LGBTQ church, that ELCA, whatever it is. I don't know. No, congregational, right? UCC, yeah. and he looked at me and goes, well, my pastor would, he would never lie to me. Oh. I think we heard that 2 years ago, didn't we? It wasn't the last time, it was 2 years before. And that kid has gotten more and more aggressive. He was back again last year, and he was cussing us out. My pastor would never lie to me. But they're not taught to go to the Bible. They're taught to listen to him. I don't teach you to listen to me. I teach you to follow me as I follow Christ. And how do you know if I'm doing that? By this. Because this is the final authority. That's how. Judas died and went to hell. Or his own place. Which is, yeah, different. Sort of. It's in hell, but it's like a compartment. But anyway. All right. You got to give me a few more minutes. I know. You got to give me a few more minutes, okay? I got to get this out. Next point. Last point. God is merciful, therefore hates cruelty. The reason why I want to bring you this part is for you to understand an attribute of God is to be merciful. And the reason why God hates the shedding of innocent blood, it's not merciful, it's cruel. It's the opposite of mercy. It's not, it's cruelty at the highest level. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God hates cruelty because he's a merciful God. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 9 through 10. And I'm going to go a little faster, so if you don't have time to get there, that's okay. I'm reading right from the King James Bible, amen. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment. By the way, this is a good verse to use when you're on the street too. Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion to every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. That's, by the way, that's talking about evil surmising. You shouldn't imagine evil in your heart against your brother. No. You should always think rightly about your brethren in Christ. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are... That's what we think. If we're shown counterwise, then we have to deal with that, right? But if you have no proof of that, your thoughts are evil. Amen! If you do that, if you paint a picture of somebody in your mind of something and you don't have proof of it, it's evil. And God hates it. Right? He talks about, we'll talk about that later on. We won't get to that today. But anyway, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, and oppress not the widow. When we contemplate the characteristics of this divine excellency, God's mercy, we cannot do otherwise than bless God for it. His mercy is great in 1 Kings 3:6. It is plenteous in Psalm 86, verse 5. It is tender in Luke 1:78, the tender mercies of our God. It is abundant in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Psalm 1 and 3, verse 17. Well, may we say with the psalmist, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. Psalm 59, verse 16. See, this is why God hates the cruelty of shedding innocent blood and murdering those that are innocent. But let me explain to you a little bit of the mercy of God and we'll close. Wherein differs the mercy of God, said one, from his grace? The mercy of God has its spring in the divine goodness of God. The first issue of God's goodness is his bounty, by which he gives liberally to his creatures, as creatures. Thus, he has given being and life to all things. That's mercy. The second issue of God's goodness is his mercy, which denotes the ready inclination of God to relieve the misery of fallen creatures. Thus, mercy presupposes sin. In endeavoring to study the mercy of God, said one, as set forth in Scripture, a threefold distinction needs to be made. If the word is to be rightly divided, first, there is a general mercy of God that's extended not only to all men, believers and unbelievers alike, but also to the entire of his creation. His tender mercies are over all his works, Psalm 145, verse 9. He giveth to all life and breath and all things, Acts 17, 25. God has pity upon the brute creation in their needs and supplies them with suitable provision. God feeds even the sparrow, like we talked about, right? Before. So why would he not take care of you, oh ye of little faith? God is merciful to all. That's what I tell them. God's mercy, he feeds you, he clothes you, he lets you breathe his air. Create this earth for you. That's God's mercy shown to you. That's the love of God shown to you in that way, but it's not the covenant love of God. It's not covenant mercy. There's a difference. So in that sense, if somebody said, well, God loves everybody, in that sense, God is merciful to everybody.
Right.
Of course he is. We don't deny that.
Yeah.
But what you're calling love is that God is going to, that God will forgive your sin outside of Jesus Christ and give you a home in heaven. That is not true. And God does not love your sin. God is not okay with your sin. Right? Again, this is why God hates the hands that shed innocent blood, because he is merciful, even to his enemies. Why do you think God... By the way, God tells you to love your enemies. Why? Because he does his. How? In the form of mercy he shows them, and not blotting them out immediately. Amen? He shows them mercy. Right? There is a special mercy of God which is exercised toward the children of men, helping and succoring them notwithstanding their sins. To them also he communicates all the necessities of life, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen? Matthew 5:45. Third, there is a mercy reserved for the heirs of salvation, which is communicated to them in a covenant way through our mediator Christ Jesus. God gives us his mercy through Jesus Christ. If someone truly wants the mercy of God, you find it in Christ. He is mercy personified. He is grace personified. Right? It is important to note that the mercies which God bestows on the wicked are solely of a temporal nature. That is to say, they are confined strictly to this present life. So when God shows mercy to the heathen out there, it's only for this life. It's not for the next. His full wrath will be upon them without any mercy when they die and go to hell because they rejected his son. Amen. There will be no mercy extended to them beyond the grave. It is people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. Why? They rejected him. But this man says this, but at this point a difficulty may suggest itself to some of our readers. Namely, does not Scripture affirm that his mercy endureth forever? Yes, it does. Two things need to be pointed out in that connection. God can never cease to be merciful, for this is a quality of his divine essence of who he is. God is merciful.
Amen.
But the exercise of his mercy is regulated by his will. Amen. This must be so, for there is nothing outside himself which obliges him to act. If there were, that something would be supreme, and God would cease to be God. Nothing overpowers God. Nothing changes God's mind, his essence, who he is. Nothing changes who God is. He's holy. So then how does that work? What does that mean? I'm going to skip ahead and just tell you, because I have a lot of pages here that I could keep going. But I'll skip ahead and I'll give you the cliff notes here to it. Here's what it is. It is merciful for God to throw sinners in hell. It is not, you say, it's not the mercy to them. It's the mercy to us. Because God does not suffer us to live with wicked sinners for all of eternity. We only suffer in this life to live with the wicked. We only suffer in an unjust world in this life. So you toil and you go to work and you try to serve the Lord and be faithful to God and follow him, and you're surrounded by temptations and lies and cheaters that rob you and steal from you, and wicked men that take advantage of you, and you watch the evils of the world, and you watch babies being murdered in foreign wars and the killing of all of human life, and you see the destruction of the world around you. You see the sin of fornication and homosexuality and all these things. And you have to suffer those things and go through those things. You see the injustices of the world and you watch them. And you say, how long, O Lord, faithful and true, how long? Right? Well, in the end, God is going to end it all. In Revelation 21, verse 27, he shows us that it's his mercy that does this, right? It's his mercy that will not suffer you to be around this for all of eternity. You only suffered in this life. What did Jesus say? How long must I suffer you? Because you're surrounded by people with an unbelief. He said, how long? How long will I suffer you? Amen. Look what Revelation 21:27 says. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know why you're going to love heaven? Because you're going to be perfect there. You know why else you're going to love heaven? Number one, Jesus is going to be there. And when you see him, you're going to be like him. That's why you're going to love heaven. Because you're going to be perfect. You know why else you're going to love heaven? There will enter nothing that defileth. There will be no sin in heaven. It'll be gone. God will cleanse the heavens and the earth by fire. And there will be no more sin. It'll be gone. It'll be banished to the lake of fire for all of eternity. You will not have any temptation. There will be none of those things. Why? You'll be like Christ. Right? That's why. And that's God's mercy. In Psalm 143:12, David prayed, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. What is that? Well, that's a prophecy of the future. God's going to do that. He hasn't done it yet. All of David's enemies weren't gone around him. He died with his enemies surrounding him. Right? Just like you will, in that sense. Again, in Psalm 136:15, God overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. God drowned Pharaoh, which is the Antichrist, right, and Egypt of the world, and he destroyed them in that sea. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. That's how you'll live under the mercy of God forever. Right? That's God's mercy to throw them into hell. He's doing it for his holiness, number one, and he's doing it for you. So you don't dwell with them for all of eternity. That they receive the just recompense of their reward. Right? Just like Revelation 19, verse 1 through 3. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Amen. Where's that at? The lake of fire. See, that's the mercy of God. Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. God talked about how, what Jacob talked about how he was angry with Simeon and Levi. Why? He says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, and are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. God took their inheritances away and just scattered them in Israel and gave it to Manasseh and Joseph's son Manasseh and Ephraim. Why? Because those two were instruments of cruelty, and God said, I hate that. I hate cruelty. He told Jacob to do that. Why? Because God hates cruelty. He doesn't like that. The world is cruel. We are not to be. We're to be merciful. Why do you think we don't take revenge on people? We're out there. They spit on us. They hit us. They beat us up. They try to do anything they can. We don't take vengeance on them. We don't do anything to them. But preach to them and tell them the truth. But see, the one thing that you can't expect when it comes to this. You can't expect us to back off and be silent, because the only weapon of our warfare when we're out there is the sword of the Lord and the preaching of God's word. And God told us to open our mouths. And sometimes it's too fierce for some people to handle. It makes them squeamish. I get it. You don't like it, and they don't like the boldness. Right? I get it. It's not easy. But it's necessary. Because we're not going to slay them. We're not going to kill them. We're not going to fight them. But we will not hold back the truth to them. We will tell them what they are in God's eyes. Amen? Why? Because that's merciful. Because the mercy is for them now to receive. They're headed for hell. They're not going to go to hell number two. They're already headed to hell. They need to be born again and forgiven. The only way they can is to be told that they're wrong. You know, I'm glad that old preacher told me, you're a whoremonger and she's a whore. I'm glad he told me that. I'm glad he didn't sugarcoat that for me. And look at me. Man, I would have lost everything that God had for me, or never would have got it. Can you imagine that, brother? I can't even imagine that. I can't wait to get to heaven one day and see that man and hug him and thank him for that. Amen. Because he actually had the guts to look at a young man and look me in my eye and tell me that. And God used it. He used it. And I'm here today because of it. And I have a wife and 8 children because of it. Amen? I traded in what the world had for me. God gave me an inheritance that was richer than I could ever imagine. So sometimes you may think those harsh words are too harsh. I don't know. It could be. Maybe. Don't think we don't second guess ourselves. We do. But I'll tell you what, they need it. Right? Hear it now than to hear the screams from hell for all of eternity. Gird up your loins, men. You're going to need it. Amen. You're going to need it. It's going to get worse out there. We better be ready to warn them. These are people that will shed the innocent of blood. Not only innocent, not only keep it in hiding, but brag about it. They brag about it. They laugh about it. Do you understand that? They laugh about it. They shout their abortion and they laugh at us. And they laugh at it. That's a whole other level of evil. If they were ashamed and they came humbly and ashamed, we would say, just like we tell them, God is able to forgive your sin. But they don't. They stiffen their neck and they harden their heart. And they said, I will seek it yet again. I'll do it again. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd strengthen our hearts. Help us to follow you and to live for you and to serve you. Help us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God, help us not to believe what the world says to us. Help us to believe what your word says. Help us to be steadfast soldiers, Lord. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God, help us to spend time with you so we have boldness to go fight the good fight of faith. Help us, Lord. Help your people. Help your church to be bold. Bold as lions, Lord. Bold to take the truth to a lost and dying world. Grant to thy servants boldness, we pray, in a wicked, apostate world. In Jesus' name, amen.